You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Psalms 10. I believe that's what's kind of blurry right now. Let's see, but no, I want to teach along the lines of your thought life, your thoughts, and something I hadn't taught before, but it's been a few years since I taught along these lines. You know, you'll find if you come here long enough, you'll hear things over. You'll hear new things, then you'll hear things over, and there's a reason for that. If you come long enough, you know, we must teach on occasion. We must teach on salvation, must teach on healing, must teach on baptism of the Holy Ghost, gifts of the Spirit, must teach on prayer and forgiveness and confession. There's new people coming all the time, then you need to hear it. Amen? You need to hear it again. Hallelujah. I know when I miss it, it's not because of something complicated. It's usually something simple that I knew and didn't do. And so by repetition, by reminding, by going over things, that's how we get established. That's exactly what Peter said. He said, I put you in remembrance of these things, although you already know them, to the end that you may be established. So if you want to get established in truth, you have to know the foundational truths of the Bible, the rudimentary things of the Bible. You know, it's just like Chris playing the drums up there. You know, there's a lot of basic drum beats that he's playing that you have to learn when you first start playing drums. You know, the rudiments of drums. You know, da-da-da, 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 da-da-da. You know, it gets rather boring after a while. But when you're doing all the fancy stuff, it's nothing more than all those things added together. It's all those things thrown in. If you want to play a guitar, you got to know some chords. You got to know G, C, D, E, F, you know, all those chords. And then you can, you know, you can go crazy with them. That little song I sang just had three chords in it, but I was picking it. It just, you know, when you pick and grin, it just makes it sound like it's a little more than what it is. But it's just three chords all I played on there. In life, you know, there's just some basics that you now need to get a hold of, amen? Some real basic things. God's good, devil's bad. God loves you. He's for you, not against you. Hallelujah. You're somebody, you count, praise God, you can get out of the mess you're in. May not got in overnight, may not get out overnight, but you can get out, amen? If you obey God, you can be blessed, pure and simple. There's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun, life short, heaven's high, hell's hot. I mean, really, there's not a whole lot of complicated things here. What we need to do is do what we know to do. Get up, do the right thing, believe God, trust God, and let God bless us. Let God shine through us. Let people see God in our lives. The world needs Jesus. Amen. Notice this concerning your thoughts, because that's really where it all begins. It all starts in your head. You're kind of headed where your head is, if you want to know the truth. Toucan Sam said it was your nose, but it's not. It's what you think about all day long. It's what you think about yourself. It's what you think about others. It's what you think about your future. It's what you meditate and think on, what goes on in your head. You got to start, you got to get that fixed first. You know, if you're not thinking straight, then you're not going to talk straight. And if you're not talking straight, you're not going to walk straight. Pure and simple. Thoughts, words, deeds. It starts with thoughts. You plant seeds first. You water, then the plant grows. Then the full corn in the ear. You know the story. So let's watch what we're putting in our head. Watch what we're thinking on. Notice what it says in Psalms 10. Y'all found it? Psalms 10, the fourth verse says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Wow, that's, you know, that's a basic truth. How often do you think about God when you're facing a situation? How often do you think about what the Lord said about this or what is God's view on this? We kind of go through life with blinders on, you know. If there's a crisis, we'll call on God. If not, we kind of okay, you know. I think of Peter walking on the water. Y'all remember that story? You know, we always talk about Peter doubting and sinking. But the rest of those guys never even got up on the water. At least he tried to get on the water. And I've heard it this way, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. At least he tried. But I think it's interesting that Peter's mistake, one of his mistakes was that when he saw the wind, Jesus came on the water, and Peter said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. And so he stepped out of the boat and stepped out on the water, and he walked to Jesus. He was walking on the water. But then it says, when he saw the wind and the waves, beginning to fear, he began to sink. Because he looked at the circumstance, he looked at the waves, he looked at the wind, And he forgot about Jesus standing right over here saying, come. So he got his eyes off Jesus, got his eyes on the problem. And every time you do that, you're going to sink. Stinking thinking will always cause you to start sinking. Write a song, couldn't I? I could put that to three chords and pick it, and I would love it. But you need to start thinking on the Lord. But see, now, Peter, he thought, now this is what's so crazy to me when you put it, think it through. He thought that the wind and the waves would cause him to sink. Like if there were no wind and there were no waves, you and I all know we can walk pretty easy on flat, on smooth water, can't we? You can't walk on smooth water. See, what you don't realize is when things are going good, it's God that's holding you up. Always has been. But you tend to forget that because we don't have God in our thoughts. And then when the problem comes, all of a sudden we think we're going to go under because of the problems, because of the wind, because of the waves, because we hadn't realized that it's been God all the time that's kept us and sustained us and kept us on top of the water. And he can keep us on smooth water, or he can keep us on rough water. He can keep us when the wind's blowing. He can keep us when the wind's not blowing. It doesn't matter, because we're trusting God. We're not trusting the water. But without God in our thoughts, often what happens is things start happening. And we hadn't been thinking about God anyway. We hadn't been thanking him every day. Thinking and thanking. I know I'm from East Texas, and those two words get confused. We have not been thinking on him, nor have we been thanking him. I don't know what kind of thoughts you've been thinking. I'd drive somebody nuts from up north when they come to, well, East Texas. But because we haven't been thinking on maybe in the good times, so when the bad times come, we don't have any faith to trust him, believe him, because we hadn't been trusting him anyway. Are you out there? See, it says that the wicked, God's not in all of his thoughts. Well, first thing you do, you have to start thinking on God. You need to spend your day thinking about him. Whether you're in business or whether you're, whatever it is you're doing, thanking God for life, for health, for strength, and keep him in your thoughts. When a problem arises, run to God. Hallelujah. When something doesn't look right, pray. Keep God in your thoughts. Amen. In that respect. The New International Version says, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Boy, that's pretty important too. I think we just cloud our head with all kinds of things besides God. You know, the biggest tactic the devil used today is just to rob our time, just to take all of our time up. It's not necessarily bad things. It's just we're settling for good instead of the best. We're settling for things that are okay instead of things that are better. You know, we've got cell phones, you know, we got computers and iPads, and you know, if we're not careful, we spend all of our time. You know, I find myself even going out to eat on my phone while I'm eating. You know, I'm thinking, what would we do without cell phones? I remember. Bert and I used to go to Dallas. We went to a hospital visit, or we went to pick up something for the church. We'd stop at a payphone. We'd call Tina and ask, because Tina was our secretary at that time. And we'd ask her if we'd had any calls, or if anybody had come by or anything we needed to do. And before we'd leave Dallas and come home, we'd stop and call before we left to see if there's anything else we need to get, or if somebody else, you know, if we had another call. We used the payphone. I know a lot of younger people are going, what's a payphone? When we started the church in 1982, we didn't have computers. We had IBM Selectric typewriter. I remember that. And we typed everything. Actually, type. Do what? Yeah, Tina typed everything. Yeah, Tina typed everything up during those days. But, you know, all that changed, and technology changed. But we don't change our faith in God. No matter what changes, we ought to keep our faith in God and our focus in God. If we're not careful, we'll be so consumed with everything and all that's going on. There's so many things to do and so much to keep us busy that there's no room for God in our thinking. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because if not today, if not tomorrow, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to need a miracle from God. One day you're going to get that call that your son just flipped a truck five times. And you're going to need to know God to do that, to handle that. You're going to need to know how to get a hold of God. You're going to need to know how to believe God and trust God. And if God's not in your thoughts on a regular basis, are you with me? Then that's not going to happen. You know, speaking of all the things we have going on, I've seen Steve, you know, every once in a while post something on Facebook, and it'll be a scripture or something, or how good God is. Or, you know, that wasn't any trick. I mean, it's a bad deal, don't get me wrong. But when he got that call, he knew exactly what to do. He started praying, started believing God and trusting God in Jesus' name. And you don't ever know when things like that are going to happen. I mean, I don't know the future, but I know I'm going to trust God when the future hits me. Are you with me? When it hits me like a brick, I'm going to hit my knees, and I'm going to believe God, I'm going to trust God. I don't know everything that's going to happen to me in life. And this is a broken, fallen world, and there's a lot of things that go wrong. But I know God's bigger than everything that ever is going to happen to me. I know that no matter how big the mountain is, my God is bigger than that mountain, hallelujah. And as Brother Osteen used to always say, quit talking to God about how big your mountain is and start talking to your mountain about how big your God is, hallelujah. Amen? And he is bigger than the crisis. He's greater than what you're going through, and this will pass. It will pass. Whatever's going on is not going to last. Only God lasts. Only his word lasts. And he is good. Amen? And Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So just have room in your thoughts for God. Amen? Think on him. Get a hold of your thought life. Turn over to Proverbs 16. You'll love this one. If you have your Bibles or your iPads or your iPhones or your whatever you're using. In Proverbs 16, I love this one. This is one, in fact, years ago when Betty was state representative, and incidentally, Betty's doing better in Jesus' name. We're praying for her, and she's recovering and healing up in Jesus' name. Y'all just keep her in your prayers. But when she was state representative, Bert and I went down to the state capitol. I was pastor of the day. Actually, I was pastor of the day for Dan Flynn, who is our representative here in Van Zandt County. They actually open up state legislation in Texas with prayer. Oh, yeah. And so I went down and opened up in prayer. And although I'm in Dan Flynn's district, Betty's, you know, I'm Betty's pastor. So Betty got up and introduced me and had me get up. And in that prayer, I used this scripture. And I didn't try to make a political statement. I wasn't there to do that. I got up and prayed for all those legislators and asked God to bless them. And, you know, they have a kind of an unthankful job. I mean, they take a lot of time to go down there and vote on legislation that affects your life and mine. Some of them are good and some of them are bad. Stay with me. And sometimes they get their way and sometimes they don't. When the gavel comes down at the end of the day, you know, they have to walk away. But they start again, fight again another day. And in that prayer, I just prayed several scriptures about wisdom, you know. I used Proverbs 3:5-6 where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And so in that prayer, I prayed that. I said, I pray this over these legislators. And I prayed James 1:5, you know, where it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Give it to all men liberally. It breaketh not. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is the way of the sea, like the wave of the sea is driven with the wind, tossed to and fro. Let not that man think that he should receive anything from the Lord. And so in that, I said, God, I pray for wisdom for these legislators, these men, these women. And, you know, I pray that they trust in you and all that they do today and the legislation that they're trying to get across. And I pray this scripture in Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. And I said, I pray that they commit their works to you and that you establish their thoughts, that they start thinking right, as it were. Hello. Wasn't political. And, of course, I ended my prayer like I end all my prayers, no matter what's politically correct or not, and paused and draw it out. I'll say, in the matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You know, don't be ashamed of Jesus wherever you are. In fact, well, somebody had mentioned to me that somebody got offended there because a pastor talked about Jesus. And I was standing there, the legislator was talking to me about it, and I said, before I got up and prayed, I said, well, they're going to get offended again. Because I'm going to talk about Jesus. Are you out there? I remember even in our food ministry, you know, they contacted us, East Texas Food Ministry, which we're affiliated with. We buy some food from. Used to buy a little more than we do now. But anyway, we're affiliated with that. It's based in Tyler. And they came out and visited us and noticed that we had a prayer room, and people go through the prayer room, and then they get their food. And they said, well, we'd like you to change that. And we said, no, I'm not going to change that. They said, well, we, you know, you can offer prayer, but we'd like for you to do it at the end as an option, maybe instead of having to go through a room to pray. And then, no, we're not going to change that. And they said, well, we don't want to force people to pray. I said, we don't force people to pray either. And they said, well, you know, we just think. And I said, look, you know what? We could buy our food anywhere. We're a church. This is what we do. I mean, prayer is the main thing that we do. Food is bait that gets them in so we can pray for them. I mean, we want to help them physically, but we want to pray for them spiritually. And so we just stood our ground, and they finally said, okay. And never heard from them again about it. But for a while, we were going back and forth, and you remember that, Mo. We were talking about all that. We said, no, that's something we're not going to do. I mean, we'll just absolutely just get our food somewhere else. I mean, I'm not going to. If we are a church and we're going to pray. We told them that when we joined. We told them that when we signed up with them. And so for it to become a problem later, see, don't compromise who you are. Don't compromise your stand for God. You can't take God out of your thoughts and out of your living. I don't try to offend people. I'm not wanting to offend people, but I am who I am. What if it offends somebody that my name's Michael? Should I change that name because I don't want to offend people? That is my name. Hello. Does it offend people that this is the state of Texas? Well, you know, there are other states you can move to. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying that's what Texas is, Texas, and don't mean to be offensive. That's just the name of our state. It's like the Redskins. Oh, come on. Come on. Don't get me started. What is that all about? That wasn't an insult. That was a compliment. They called themselves the Redskins. They did that to acknowledge the Indians, not to insult the Indians, and now they're saying they got to change their name. This political correctness gets crazy. Are you with me? One thing that is always correct biblically and spiritually is God in your thoughts. Don't take God out of your thoughts, no matter what anybody says or does. Keep God in your thoughts. He is your life. What if somebody said, I don't like you talking about Brenda. Well, I'm sorry, that's my wife. I love her. She loves me. Are you out there? Yes. Whose phone was that? Okay. Anyway. Besides God, the most important person in my life is Brenda. Are you with me? She means everything to me. She's my stability. She's my rock, you know. Outside of Jesus, obviously, I understand the greatest thing in my life is Jesus. But for someone to say, well, you know, it's just offensive to us. We don't believe in marriage, and we don't want you to talk about your wife. Well, I mean, I don't mean to be offensive. Are you with me? We're not trying to offend. We love people. I don't hate people. Are you with me? I'm not trying to start a confrontation. But this is just crazy where I cannot talk about the love of my life, Brenda, and I can't talk about my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? I would be dead. I would be in jail. Are you kidding me? If it weren't for Jesus, I wouldn't be alive. My life, I exist because He saved me. He pulled me out of drugs and jails and out of a wild lifestyle, kicked out of high school. I'm never going to shut up talking about Jesus. He's changed me. He's made me who I am today. I got kids serving God now because of Jesus. Are you with me? I'm still married because of Jesus. I mean, the list is endless. I'm still alive because of Jesus. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. I don't want to take Him out of my thoughts. I want Him in my thoughts more, not less. Are you out there? And I want to commit my works to the Lord, as Proverbs 16:3 says, and let my thoughts be established. That's why people's thoughts are so messed up, because they're not committing it to God and their thoughts aren't established. Waking up in a new world every day. New International Version says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. That's a good one, amen? How many of you want to succeed? Okay, three of you do. That's great. I like that. Well, we ought to succeed. I think we should succeed. We should succeed in serving God. We should succeed in marriage. We should, I can't even say that time. Sorry, I'm just kidding. Say it 10 times real fast. We should succeed in our business. We should be a success in raising our children. We should be a success in our witness for Jesus Christ. Don't you think we should succeed in that? I think we should. Hallelujah. I think that to do that, we need to keep God in our thoughts, and we need to commit our works to God. Hallelujah. We need to have a habit of turning things over to the Lord, praying about everything. Hallelujah. And trusting God to take care of it. And if you'll do that, success will just come. Don't make success your goal. Make God your goal. Make trust in God your goal, and success will take care of itself. It absolutely will. If you'll put God first, hallelujah, then everything else will work out. Proverbs 21. Man, this is a good one. Everybody say thoughts? Okay, we're talking about thoughts. You know, I remember years ago, in fact, it was probably 1976. I was about 5 years old. But we were at Lakewood Church, and John Osteen was the pastor there. And he taught a series on thinking the thoughts of God. And it was a great series. He just, you know, Brother Osteen would teach series. He always had points to his messages. It was a Baptist hangover that he had from being a Baptist for so many years. God bless the Baptists. Now, come on. I love Baptists. Thank God for Baptists. If it weren't for Baptists, I wouldn't have any son-in-laws. Anyway. Well, I got one that wasn't a Baptist. I got two of them. I told them they had to get baptized in the Holy Ghost before they could marry my daughters, and that was just the way it was. And so one of them held out till the week before they got married. But anyway, stay with me. I just had to bring that out. But Brother Osteen, he taught these series, and he taught this one series on thinking the thoughts of God, and he would just take each week, he'd just say, what is God? And it was really kind of neat the way he titled it, because he's pretty sharp on series. This is what God thinks about healing. This is what God thinks about, you know, salvation. This is what God, it's really a tricky way to teach anything you want to teach on. You know, thinking the thoughts of God, because anything in the Bible is the thoughts of God, right? But it was a great series, because he would say, what are God's thoughts on this subject? What are God's thoughts on that subject? And it is important that we get that straight, amen? Are you thinking the thoughts of God? You're not God. I'm not God. I'm not saying that. But we should be thinking like him. You say, oh, that's sacrilegious. Oh, really? The Bible says forgive as Christ forgave you. Isn't that what it says? So we should forgive like he forgives. We should love because he loved us. Are you with me? We should pattern our lives after God. We should be holy, for the Lord our God is holy. So thinking his thoughts is what we should be doing, according to the Scripture. There again, bringing the Scripture out. Well, that's a new concept. But the Bible says we should think like God. We should talk like God. We should imitate God. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, was it 4:1? He says, be ye imitators of God as dear children. Imitate, mimikai. Mimikai is the Greek word to mimic, to ape. Like a monkey see, monkey do. You know, we should do what he does. We should imitate him. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. So we should imitate him. You say, well, I don't know who you guys think you are talking like God. Well, who are you talking like? Hello? You talking like the devil? Well, I don't think you ought to be doing that. I think you need to be talking like God. You need to forgive like he does, love like he does, be good to people like he is. Amen? Okay. Here in Proverbs 21, have you found it? Notice what it says in the 5th verse. I'm just jumping on scriptures about thoughts. Proverbs 21:5 says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want. I love that. See, if we're diligent in thinking about God and serving God, we're going to think in terms of success. We're not going to be thinking in terms of failure or need or how am I going to make it or what am I going to do. No, our thoughts ought to be, hey, God's going to take care of me one way or the other. My God supplies my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We're going to be thinking, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or lack. Hallelujah. Are you out there? We're going to be thinking, well, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. Hallelujah. Amen? See, your thoughts, if you're diligent in thinking about God all the time, you're going to think about success. You're going to think about going over. You're not going to think about going under. I don't know what you're facing, but if you'll trust God, you can go over. I don't know what's going on in your marriage, but you can make it work if you'll trust God. If you'll believe God, you can get out of that mess you're in. You can make a message out of your mess. You can make a testimony out of your test. You can make an advantage out of your adversity. Turn it around. Hallelujah. See, and that's what we need to do. You ought to think about going over, not going under. You ought to think about making it, not losing it. Are you out there? And God in your thoughts will cause you to do that. Because God's a big God. God's a good God. God's a powerful, active God. God's a loving, compassionate God. God's someone that's moving in my life. I don't know about you, but he is blessing me every day. Hallelujah. And if I keep my mind on him, well, I'm going to get through this thing. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Think about it. If you want your thoughts on him, if your mind's fixed on him, if it's stayed on him, then nothing's going to rattle you, nothing's going to shake you, nothing's going to break you, because nothing out there made you. God made you. And when it's all over, we'll still be standing, hallelujah, with our thoughts on him. And we'll have perfect peace in the midst of the storm because we trust him. Woo! Excuse me for getting excited. Excuse me for getting stirred up. I just amen myself. Hallelujah. Woo! Preach it. See, diligent people think about abundance. People think about God, think about winning. They think about going over. They think about making it. They think about fixing things. They think about coming out of stuff instead of being destroyed and torn up and losing everything. They think about, God's got a million ways to get me out of this. God, what do you want me to do? Here I am. Use me. Help me. Bless me. See, diligent people and people that think on God go forward. They don't go backwards. It's called forward thinking. Amen? It's good stuff. Hey, turn to Isaiah. This is a good one. I'm just enjoying the scripture. Are y'all enjoying the scripture? Isaiah 55. This is a really misquoted, misinterpreted, out of context, used out of context so much scripture. Isaiah 55. Many of you know where I'm going with this, but it's talking again about thoughts. Having trouble getting to the right verse. I need an old-fashioned Bible. That's what I need. This is quicker. This is so much faster. Are y'all there yet? Okay. Notice what it says in Isaiah 55, and you'll know this right off the bat. The sixth verse says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's good advice. Amen. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Y'all see that? And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Now, did he say for everybody to forsake their thoughts or just the unrighteous man? It's unrighteous man. Okay. Did he say for the holy man to forsake his ways or the wicked man or the wicked man forsake his way? Okay. So the wicked man needs to forsake his way and the unrighteous man needs to forsake his thoughts. And it says, let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Aren't you glad? God speaking now, 8th verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not, your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. Have you ever heard that quoted just concerning you never knowing what God's going to do? Well, his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. Well, yeah, if you're wicked and unrighteous, I agree. Are you wicked and unrighteous? Well, you need to forsake that wicked way. And you need to forsake those unrighteous thoughts. You need to return to the Lord. And he will abundantly pardon. And you know what? You can start doing things he does. Your ways will be his ways. You can start thinking thoughts he thinks. Your thoughts will be his thoughts. The call here is not to confuse you and say you don't know anything. You can never know what God's going to do. The call is to turn around from what you're doing and start doing what God's doing. Stop thinking the way you're thinking and start thinking the way God thinks. God doesn't think unrighteously. God doesn't do things wickedly. Quit all those wicked ways. Stop all that unrighteous thinking and return to the Lord and start walking in an unwicked way and start thinking in a righteous way. Well, that went over real big. Oh, hallelujah. That's good news. Because what he's saying there is, I can know his thoughts and I can know his ways. And one thing you can write down, it's not complicated, it's not deep. God is not wicked. He is not unrighteous. So if something wicked this way came, that wasn't God. Are you out there? If something wicked came your way, if something wicked you did, that was not the Lord. Because God's ways are not wicked ways. And if some unrighteous thought came in your head, you want to take somebody else's head off. Hello. You want to burn somebody else's house down. You want to rain on somebody else's parade. You know, some unrighteous thought come. You can just write that down. That thought didn't come from God, because God is not unrighteous. You need to change that kind of thinking. So you can change your ways. Ooh, it's quiet in here. Goodness gracious. This is not a funeral. Come on, this is church. We're having church here. I'm trying to help you. Rebuke's good. I mean, hey, I think rebuke is wonderful, and conviction is great, not condemnation. Nobody's condemning anybody. We've got no stones to throw. But we all got to work on these things. Amen? I can change my ways. You can change your ways. I can change my thoughts. You can change your thoughts. That's the good news. And what do you want to change them into? You ought to change them to what God thinks and change to what God does. You ought to do what God does. You ought to think what God thinks. Woo! My thoughts are not your thoughts. Whose thoughts? Wicked. My thoughts are not, my ways are not your ways. Whose ways? The unrighteous. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your ways. You know what he's saying? He's not saying you can never know God's ways. You can never know God's thoughts. They're higher than the heavens. He's saying goodness is higher than wickedness. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so high is goodness and graciousness and compassion and love when it comes to wickedness and hatefulness. God's ways, love and forgiveness. Are you with me? Miracles and healings and all that he does is so much higher than wicked, unrighteous things going on in the earth. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so high and so great is love higher than hate. He wasn't talking about an unknown. He wasn't saying something you could never know. He was saying something you can know and should be doing yourself. And forsake and turn away from the way you've been living and the way you've been thinking. The old dirty, rotten thing. You hate your mama, you hate your papa, never done a good thing in your life, but God loves you and I love you. God bless your dirty, rotten little hearts. No, stay with me. Anybody can change. Anybody can turn around. Anybody can do different. That's all repent means, just turn around. Come on, turn around, turn around. Come back to God instead of running from God. Amen. Come to Jesus. And you know, you've heard that in your life. You just need a little come to Jesus meeting. You come to Jesus. And you start thinking like he thinks. You can forgive. You can love. You can help. You can heal. You can get over it. Hallelujah. You can. You can. You got to get God back in your thoughts. And quit thinking unrighteously. And quit acting wickedly. He goes on and says this. Is this helping anybody? I'm preaching myself happy. I know that. I mean, I've done everything here today but dance for you. Come on, I sung, I sang, I'm taught. Notice what it says. It says, his ways are higher than wicked ways, right? His thoughts are higher than unrighteous thoughts. That's what he's talking about. Don't use that verse when something confusing happened to you and you don't know what happened. Well, his ways are not our ways. No. If you believe that, then you're saying you're wicked and you're unrighteous. Because that's who he was talking to, and he was telling them to repent and return, and he said, I will abundantly pardon, and I'll have mercy. You and I are not unrighteous now. I mean, maybe we're not perfect, not doing anything right, but I don't know about you, but I don't have my righteousness. I have his. I have the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, and I am a Christian now. I am saved now. I'm not lost now. I am saved. I am a saint. I'm not going to be a saint. I am a saint. I was a sinner, I'm now a saint. I can sin and still have to repent, but I'm not a sinner by nature. I'm a saint by nature because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm born again, hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. Woohoo! This is going to be my amen corner right over here. I just preached to y'all. Something happened to me when I got saved. Hey, they're not mad they told me they were leaving early. I just want y'all to know that they told me they had to leave, but... You know, 10 till, so. I just cut the gossip down right now, okay? Okay, here it is. Let's wrap this up. This is good stuff. So after he says that, my thoughts, not your thoughts, wicked, unrighteous, we got that established. He goes on and says this, for as the rain, oh my, Oh, man, this is so good. I don't even know if y'all ready for this. I may just stop do this next week. Y'all probably not. Okay, all right, okay. There again, it's my same section over here, just saying no. The rest of y'all thinking, yeah, let's shut it down. I want to go. No, you don't. I know you don't. 10th verse. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return, it waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Oh, I love that. Now, think about rain. Think about snow. It comes down. It waters the earth. It makes it bring forth in bud for the purpose of giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And that's the way, that's the process. That's the way it works. Rain and snow makes the earth produce. And the earth produces and success comes and fruit comes and produce comes and it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Then he says, so shall my word be. My word, my thoughts, my ways are just like the rain and they're just like the snow from heaven. My word and my ways, my thoughts are for the intent of making you prosper and bringing increase into your life. My word, my ways, my thoughts are like water on dry ground. And if it'll ever get inside of you, if it'll ever get in, if you ever get a hold of my thoughts, if you ever start thinking like I think, if you ever start acting like I act, it'll be like water on the ground. It'll cause increase to come. You'll bring forth and bud. You'll give seed to the sower and bread to the ear. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, and it shall accomplish that which I please. Woo! Well, give the Lord a shout and hand clap. Amen. Get God's thoughts in you. Get his word in you and start going over instead of under. Now remember, the fool doesn't have room for God, but we're not fools. It's the fool that said there was no God, but we know there is one. And he's not just God, he is our God. And he's not just our God, he's our Father. Hallelujah. And I'm going to change my thinking. You know, I think it's Albert Einstein said this. He says, you cannot change the problems that you're facing with the same level of thinking that you entered into them with. That's really not all that deep. It's really pretty simple. You created these problems thinking a certain way. You're going to have to start thinking another way to get out of them. Amen? And the way to do that is to get into the Word and get the Word in you. I love the way this continues, and I'll just have to wrap this up. I've got some other scriptures I'd like to get to, but, you know, only so much time in the day. Besides, we have to beat the Baptist to Brookshire's, you know, so, or Dairy Queen or wherever else everybody's eating. Everybody say, God bless Baptist. I do love, you know, we are pro-church. You do know that. We're not competing with churches. We're actually, I don't feel like all these churches compete. What we do is complete. There are people that are going to go to First Baptist and go to Stone Point and United Methodist and First Assembly. And thank God for those churches. Thank God for the Catholic Church, Church of Christ. People that name Jesus and preach Jesus, thank God for them. Thank God for International Outreach Church. You know, we've got a race to run, but we're not running against each other. We're all in this thing together, amen? Hallelujah. Now, I know everybody ought to be going here. I understand that. I know when we get to heaven, they'll find out we're right. I understand that. I got that. But we love them. They're our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we're all going to heaven, amen, if we name Jesus. And so we thank God for churches. Don't ever start dissing churches. I won't do it. Not going to do it. I know some real godly men and women go to these churches. I know most of all the pastors in town, and I'm for them. I think they're doing a great job. And, you know, I think about what's going on at Stone Point. I think it is amazing what's going on out there. People are getting saved. It's wonderful. Brandon is a great guy, a good guy, loves God. Talked to him on many occasions. I know the pastors all around town. And so you ought to rejoice when anybody's blessed, amen, in church, if it's a church. Praise God. Okay. But he says this, the result of this is how your life changes. If you get his word in you, you start thinking like he thinks. You start thinking his thoughts and walking in his ways, thinking the thoughts of God. That's good. I love that. Here's what will happen. 12th verse. It says, you shall go out with joy. Oh, I love it. I love it. See, that's my prayer for people that come to our church. That since God called me to teach, I had a supernatural vision when God called me to teach. And I was just 19 years, 20. I was 20 years old. I've been saved 1 year. And I saw a church in my hometown that I recognized. I knew the church. I saw people I recognized. I was actually at Lakewood Church at the time. It was in May of 1976. And I was sitting in a meeting, and the Lord called me to teach that night. And I didn't have a background. I didn't have an education. I didn't have money. I didn't have anything. I was just sitting there. I was just so glad to be saved. I was just so happy to be saved and get out of the mess I'd been in and have purpose and direction. And I was enjoying the service, and I saw an open vision of this church in my hometown, and I saw people going in all dressed up, looking good. Man, they look sharp. They look good. They happy. They were just happy, 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 you know. They're going in the front door. But then I saw them coming out the back door. They weren't so happy. They were coming out the back door, and they were beat up, and they were just, you know, all messed up and just come bent over, and I just began to weep. I didn't know what was going on. They were coming out worse than they're going in. Coming out of church worse than they're going into church. And God says, I want you to do something about it. First time I ever heard the voice of God ever in my life, first time. And I haven't heard it many times audibly like that, but I heard it just less loud inside my spirit. He said, I want you to do something about that. And back then I did, you know, that's the way I talked. I didn't, it took me a while to change my talk. I said, nope. You got the wrong cat, Jack. I remember saying that. I said, you got the wrong cat. Nope, nope, I got no education. I can't do anything about that, God. I can't do anything about that. He didn't pay one bit of attention to me. He said, again, just loud in my spirit, he said, I want you to do something about that. I said, I was crying. I was just weeping. I said, God, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I'm embarrassed. There's people around me. You know, I wasn't into crying. I mean, come on, now I cry all the time, but I didn't then. And I said, God, leave me alone. Please leave me alone. Please leave me alone. Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. And he says, I want you to do something about that. And he said, I'm calling you to teach. He didn't say preach. He said, I'm calling you to teach my word. And so I realized I was fighting a losing battle. And I said, okay. And that was it. And I've had... I've had that drive on me ever since. I've had that passion on me. To this day, I have this drive when I stand in this pulpit, in this office, to help people, to give you hope, to let you know you can make it, that God is not your problem. He is your answer. And you have reason to rejoice. You ought to leave out. My prayer, and you've heard me say this, my prayer is that you walk out of this building better than you walked in. More knowledgeable about God, about yourself, about the world that you live in, but most of all, that you walk out of here with hope, that you walk out of here knowing you can make it, that you got a bright future. Hallelujah. You got a God that loves you. You can make it. Hallelujah. I don't know what lie you've been buying or holding on to, but your life's not over. It's not the end of the world. You can get back up on your feet again. There is a God in heaven that loves you. Hallelujah. And that'll move on your behalf, that is waiting with his hand on his ear, listening for you to cry out to him, just anticipating you to believe, just hoping that you'll call so he can help you. He wants to help you. He wants to move in your life. He loves you. I don't know why, but he does. He loves all of us. Amen. And when you get a hold of this, here's what'll happen. You'll go out with joy. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing. Everything will look better. Hallelujah. And he goes on and says, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Mr. Bluebird will be on your shoulder. Come on. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a. Instead of the thorn shall be the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall be the myrtle tree. And it shall be for the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. It makes God look good when you look good. Amen. It makes him, it shows the world how good he is when you make it. When you get back on your feet and you start shining, hallelujah. And you can. You can.